those out because I was printing it and I didn't want to waste ink. So I can put those back in if you want. Do they normally have photographs? I assume you put them in because they normally have photographs.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
They do, okay. And it gives okay. people an idea. Well, for most people, they're thinking if it's a tank in Idlewild, it's probably underground. Well, this one's
all
not.
Right.
So.
All right. Yeah, I'll clean it up. I'll put the photographs back in with all the changes and get rid of all the stripes or, you know, the final version and send it to the office today.
Oh, great.
Great.
Yeah.
So I'll make that motion.
The only thing I didn't know if worth mentioning or not, but there's always been a lot of discussion about our beaches and access and all of that with COVID. So I don't know if there was any reason to insert anything that, you know, that the beaches, you know, are expected to be open for this coming year, and or better just leave it out completely.
Yeah.
I would just leave it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who knows what's going to happen next?
Okay.
I'll make a motion.
I just don't think we want to encourage a lot of non-Edelweiss people to come to our beaches, so I'd rather not put it in there.
So I'll make a motion that we adopt and present the edited version that Paula will send to the town of Madison for their annual report. Do I have a second for the motion?
I'll second that.
Do you want me to send it to Madison? I was going to send it to the office, Jay, and have them send it. So
yeah, have the office send
okay.
it. Yep.
Okay. All right. Yep. Well,
great. Thank you. All right. Now we can. I guess I first will jump into the budget.
Yeah.
Well, glad it's not my phone. All right. So Kathy had sent out version 5. I think that's the one we should be working from.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had taken down some notes. I think they were distributed at least on the draft agenda that Jerusa had sent out. And I'll go down this list of the draft agenda. And one of the things, there's quite a few expenses here that we have to incur, and then there's some other expenses that we agreed to incur. But these expenses, I don't believe, were reflected when we did the draft budget workshop about a month or 2 months ago. So I want to make sure that we capture these costs. The first one being approximately $4,000 for the furnace at the DPW garage. And I think we had I know it was in excess of $3,000, but I put $4,000 in case there's any additional piping and or removal of other equipment that might necessitate an additional cost.
Okay. Now, Jay, do you want to go through all of your comments, or do you want to address them one at a time as you get to it?
Yeah, we can address them one at a time for the accuracy of the number, and then also what line item on the budget it would come out of or add to.
Okay. I think we did discuss that, and on line item 19, we've got $15,000 appropriated for government and buildings, or buildings and grounds, and we spent $9,500 this past year, and I believe that the thinking was that additional $4,000 would be available for that heating upgrade.
Okay.
And out of that, $3,000 of it was, of the $9,000, $3,000 was the garage door, so that was a one-time expense.
Right.
So I think we're covered. I'm glad you brought it up to make sure we didn't forget it, but I'm pretty sure that $15,000 line item will be adequate to cover our traditional, routine expenses, and we'll have some money in there to do that heating system, as well as accommodate the office, since they'll be losing their source of heat.
Yep. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So do you feel good
about that?
I'm sorry, you guys. I'm a little behind because I'm just having some computer problems, but I think I'm caught up. Okay. So you're talking about a new furnace for the DPW?
Yeah, we
talked about this. It's going to come out of the grounds because we decided if we made it a warrant article that if it didn't get approved and it breaks, we're going to be
It has to get done.
So I thought
right.
it would be
it
accounted for
done.
It in the buildings. I thought it was accounted for in buildings and grounds because we put in $15,000 and we only spent $9,400 this year.
Right.
So I can go back into the minutes and confirm that, but I'm pretty sure we accounted for the furnace.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think, Paula, we're good. I think we're good. And I don't know if you heard me, but of the 9,400 that we did spend last year, 3,000 was the overhead doors.
Oh,
and that
was
a one-time expense.
Yeah.
So that will give us kind of swapping, you know, that expense for, we think the furnace might be around $4,000. So I think we're good there.
Yeah,
But we need to know if we get questioned on why 15,000 when you only spent 9,400, that increment is because of the heating system.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
all right.
Line item. I'm going to make some notes on here. Number 19. All right, so we're okay. So garage doors was in it from last year, and then furnace. Okay. Okay, next one, Jay. Yeah.
So keeping on that same process, we're still talking now building and grounds. We have estimated, and I don't know if we actually made this vote yet, for this emergency action plan for the dam. We had two options, an $8,000 option or a $15,000 option. Did we decide on that?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so that was the eight, I believe?
The lower of the two, yep.
Yeah. So, again, that would also then come out of buildings and grounds. So now we have to up that line item.
Wait, why would the dam come out of buildings and grounds? And for is it a road expense? I guess it is, right? It's the dam?
It's not water because it's not drinking water.
Right, so I guess it would come out of our operations budget. I'm just looking to see.
I can't see any other line item other than buildings or grounds that it would come out of.
Right. We don't have any kind of warrant on capital reserve fund.
We're not doing any work, though. It's a plan we're going to do, right? We're spending $8,000 to create a plan. We're not doing any work. I would put it under engineering, possibly.
Engineering.
Yeah, engineering.
Yep, exactly.
If it's just a plan.
Okay, so
line item 23 is where it should go.
Yeah. So that will become 10.
Okay.
Well, 10. Why? I don't know why we have 2,000. Oh, we have 10,000. I see. Okay. The 10,000.
Okay. So.
Okay.
So Jay, what was so to do the basic plan was how much from what was the estimate?
Let me see. It was 40. Let's see. It was anywhere from 4,500 to 5,000 to do the mapping. And then that map gets implemented into the overall plan, which has to be submitted to DES. And that plan has a cost of $2,500 to $3,000. So I'm taking the higher of all those values.
Okay. So 8?
Yeah.
And then change that to 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys, so there is a, what about line 67?
What's line 67?
67, asset management.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could go there too, probably.
I just don't know if it's necessarily, you know, government, if it's for future budgets, whether or not it's engineering, government, is it really government buildings, or should it be pulled out into asset management or some other unique line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think asset management covers, one, the future forecast and life expectancy of the asset, the financial planning to replace or do away with the asset, and also the conditions of the asset. I don't think this
that
might
kinda
fall.
Does.
This really
that, well, it kind of does, Jay. Though you're managing it. You're looking at the future condition of it, the longevity of it.
Right, but this, I think, because of the engineering involved in the mapping, which is really the key, I think this might best fit under engineering, because they're also probably going to propose a replacement should it ever fail. That would be an engineering design.
Well, we also have an engineering consultant line number 59 under equipment and maintenance. So if this is maintenance, maybe it should go
more
under that engineering line.
But that's more like that's. I think that's more road engineering, culvert engineering. So that's kind of more highway related.
I see. Okay.
Okay.
Where's the? Oh no, we're paying the, oh, we're paying the other. We're paying the other asset management out of a reserve account, so that it's not going to go up any more than that. I think it makes sense to put it in asset management. I agree. It is an asset manager.
I mean, as a treasurer, I'm just kind of curious what Dinah's thoughts are being the treasurer.
Well, I think asset management's a good idea too.
Okay.
Managing the asset of our dam, and I think, and I don't think it'll be used with the other asset management. That's a different thing. So.
Yeah. Okay. You agree, Dave?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it really, it could work there as well. It doesn't matter because the bottom line is what good.
Right. There's a good argument for both, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to take, that's going to be line 67. 67. We're going to make that 10,000. You want to make it 11,000?
67.
We had 1,000 in there.
Yeah.
10,000. What was that for? Just make it 10. I don't think we knew. We hadn't earmarked that for anything specific.
Right. That was just if there were any costs incurred with the district volunteers working with the grant, possibly flagging curb stop valves or assisting in some other way, that there was just a little bit of money in there for that if needed. Okay,
yep.
So we're going to make that. We'll make that 10,000. Okay.
All right.
So this one I don't have to do anything to. That one I do. Okay.
Yeah, there was the other one we had talked about was just putting a clean bathroom in the DPW garage, and I figured $2,000 for that for the basic new toilet and piping and drain.
And so that was going to go, we're back on line 19?
Back to buildings and grounds, yeah.
Okay. So do you want to make that?
I'm just going to reach out to Kelly. $2,000, you think that's enough to give you guys some new porcelain?
We need more than new porcelain. You've been in that bathroom. It should be contaminated. I mean, it should be quarantined on
condemned.
Its own.
Yeah,
condemned.
Be condemned.
That's the word. I think it should be a complete do-over if we're going to do it, which isn't a lot. It's just a very small room, just a bathroom, but I don't know what plumbers and carpenters charge these days, but... I mean, it should be gutted out and then started from scratch.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I just don't know what that drain and why that bath floor is raised up as it is. I'm not sure if it's because of the drain or not.
And that's probably what it is, but that can still be redone the way it is, just with a new box, because the box is rotting.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's flowing through the floor.
Well, one of the thoughts, too, Jay, was... The drain that's flush to the floor was where there was a shower.
Yeah.
And if you're not using the shower as a shower, but a storage closet, move the toilet over the drain so it's flush to the floor.
Well, the pipe size for the shower would be different, smaller diameter than that for the toilet.
Oh, okay.
You have a 3-inch coming off the toilet. Probably the shower is either 1.5 or 2.
Okay. So that wouldn't work.
Yeah. No, we're going to dismantle
again, building and grounds, don't forget that the $9,400 that we spent, that $3,000 for the doors will probably not be in there. So you're down to 6, and we've got 15 allocated. So there should be enough between the furnace replacement and enough to do the bathroom in there also.
I'm not sure. So if we put 4 for the furnace and another 2 for the bathroom, a basic bathroom, that's just a little bit over what was left from last year. I think that may be cutting it a little tight.
Yeah, but we've already put 15,000 in. We're not putting in 9,000 in what was spent last year. We're putting in 15.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So you're saying you're going to spend $5,000 or $6,000 at the end of the day if you're going to do something upstairs on heating, and you're going to spend $3,000 on the bathroom. That's $9,000. So you still have $6,000 more to spend on other buildings and ground stuff, which is about what you spent this year if you take the the garage door out of the 9,500 that was spent. So I guess I don't know what else comes out of there. What other, if it's just little things, but to me, that's a lot of money in 1 year to spend on buildings and grounds. We have some two big things we need to get done. Sounds like. I don't know. What else would we have potentially?
Yeah, Kelly, can you elaborate on what was spent this year on buildings and grounds? Is
really?
That common?
No, Paul is about right. I mean, that's a lot of money for buildings and grounds. We never had that much way back. It's mostly emergency things that might come up, which really, I mean, a few years ago we did a lot of cosmetics on the buildings. We had them painted. We had a lot of trim work done. Since then, we haven't really done anything on buildings and grounds.
Yeah.
And we had the doorbells this year, the ring thing. I don't know what else we had. I mean, somebody could look through the quick.
When did we pump up the outhouses? Was that last year? Is that what, did the outhouse
that
come out of that?
That was Parks and Rec. That was Parks and Rec, Kathy.
Okay. All right.
And Kelly,
I think we're fine with 15,000. That's my opinion. But
Kelly, you still having problems with closing the door on Idlewise Drive on the garage?
No, that's just the track that just had to be bent back into place. No, that's fine. I mean, stuff like that, I don't see a big cost for any repairs like that if we had to call someone. Most of that stuff, honestly, we do ourselves.
All right. Okay, good. So the next one I had was a metal culvert replacement. We had not discovered this year, but we obviously were more exposed this year to metal culverts that have failed. The Idlewise Drive at Thusis Beach was one that we knew and had some significant, a good expense to it. Obviously, those metal culverts in Christenstock and Aspen, but there's many more throughout the district, and I just want to pass this number off to Kelly. I don't know how many culverts you can do in a given season, but I just threw the number 3,000 out there for metal culvert replacement. I don't know how many you can do, but maybe we could take that number and then multiply that by 250 or maybe 500 if you're going to do a long run to replace some of those metal culverts.
Did we skip down the culvert line? Is that where we're at now?
Yes.
Line 56.
I have 6,000.
Yeah, I think 6,000. That's more than we spent this year.
That's where I'd like to be with the 6, because if anything we do, all of a sudden we have to get a retaining wall or a header wall or something costly, it'd be nice to have the money to do that, to do it right. I don't see that yet. I won't know until I do my culvert inspections coming up here in the next few weeks, but you don't know. That 6,000 kind of felt good to have that, especially with all these pipes going to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're good with 6,000.
We spent 3,000 last year, so
what's next?
Yeah. All right. The next one we got is the brush cutting over the water mains. Now, we've had two quotes that have come in. They're relatively almost identical. One was 1,500 to 2,000. The other was about 2,000.
So
this will go under the water budget?
Yes, this is going to now switch over to the water budget.
And what line item do you want to put this in? Buildings and grounds. Buildings and grounds, right? So we last year we spent, isn't that grounds for water?
We do, yeah. So under line 19, we just kind of prorated some of the cost of the buildings to the water budget.
So last year we had budgeted $1,200, we spent $2,000, and we budgeted $1,200 again. And the question is, obviously, that's not enough. We're going to do this. So we should probably budget, what'd you say, Jay, $2,000?
Yeah, $2,000 looks like it will cover.
So we should budget $3,200 or $3,500 for this line total.
Okay, so do you want to do...
Does that make sense to everyone?
No, you want to do What's the number? You want to do 3,500?
Yeah, we'll make it 35 just to make sure we get every tree and weed and.
Okay. This is for brush cutting. Okay.
Okay. What line? Now,
that's 19. Line 19, but under the water side. So it was 1,200. We're going to make it 3,500.
Yeah. Now, staying under the water budget, my next suggestion was $4,000 for a concrete floor at Muddy Beach. This has been talked about for several years. We have a humidity problem there. It's a stone floor for stone, so that the humidity from the ground permeates into the building, and we constantly run a dehumidifier in that building to help to dry it out. The other thing I wanted to, and I know we don't have very good communications with Tom from the skater controls, but we obviously have a lot of failed skater reports, alarms from the Muddy Beach building. And I'm wondering if it's due to the humidity in the building setting off false alarms.
Mm-hmm.
This is something if we don't do it, the world doesn't come to an end. The water system doesn't end. So to me, this would be maybe a Warren article because it's an optional thing to do. We think it's necessary, but we wouldn't put it in the operating budget.
Well, okay. if you go to line 70, we budgeted $50,000 for repairs. We spent $40,000, so we lowered it to $45,000 for this upcoming year, or the year that we're in now, $45,000.
Yep.
So it's pretty reasonable that we could do a $4,000 repair in there.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Okay, and it could also, Jay, if there's a couple thousand dollars in the actual contingency of the Reinhardt tank project, we could use that for any other items that are water system related. And we even talked about that as a possibility that there may be, you know, even if we took 2,000 from there and 2,000 out of the water budget. I agree with you that we should do it, but I think that we've got enough funds between those two lines, between the contingency at Reinhardt and the actual repairs for the water system, that we can get that taken care of.
Okay.
I mean, we've talked about it. We there was a lot of opportunity to do it. We just never kind of got all of our ducks in a row and got a price because somebody's got to dig all that gravel out. That's going to be the, you know, challenging part.
Yep. All right. And
I
just
think we're okay with that.
Okay. Just wanted to remind everyone that we have already committed from the water system reserves, $85,000 from the Reinhardt project and another $20,000 for the funding of the matching grant for asset management. So that's $105,000. Mm-hmm. And at the very bottom of Kathy's spreadsheet, you'll see how much money are in those reserve funds. So that's a significant chunk. So just to be aware of that. Okay. I wanted to put a cost of $6,000 for the backhoe blower that will be replacing the worn broom. We currently have the power broom.
Is this the leaf blower?
Yeah.
Well, it's a leaf blower and sand blower. So it's
we added a that's why I sent that thing out last night. We added a Article 8 leaf blower. We put in $6,000 for that.
Yep, we did.
All right, so that's going to be a warrant article? All right, let me break that down.
Okay.
And the warrant article says it's going to be mounted on the grader. Is that correct?
No, the
backhoe.
Okay.
The grader.
Okay.
Yep, should be backhoe. Paula, did you catch that?
I got it, yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Makes sense.
But we'll go through that document when we're done with the budget. Operations budget, I think. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're all aware as we go to the gas pump in recent weeks that gasoline and fuel has gone up significantly. So I was proposing to add another $1,000 to the line for fuel.
So where are
line
we here
50?
On?
Line 50.
There it is, yep.
Okay.
Bring it from 10 to 11,000.
Well, 9, 10, 11, 12. Let's do 12. On the news last night, it was not optimistic.
Yeah.
I'm just Googling this to see what the forecast looks like.
Number 50, okay. Change.
Which is bumpy. I mean,
Yeah, a lot depends on, I mean, OPEC has said last week that they were going to curtail production, trying to increase the price.
Okay. So I'm sorry, what line item are we on? What line is this?
50.
50.
So you're going to put how much in? 12,000?
Make it 12 instead of 10.
Yeah, Kathy, I agree with Kathy. Let's fix it up to 2.
Okay.
Yeah, the last thing you want to have happen is that we tell the people we're not going to plow their roads next December because we ran out of fuel.
Well, yeah, we wouldn't do that.
We'd
find the money. So, yeah. Okay.
All right. And so that's fuel. Then I wanted to go back to line number 12, legal expense. So that is one where we overspent this year. Really, there's been no court case or anything to that effect. But obviously, we're using legal more, not because of anything that has been prompted by the commissioners, but more so getting direction from our legal counsel on inquiries or threats by our residents. And I think this is now not only the first year this has happened, this is sort of more consistent. And I think we ought to up that line item, fortunately, just to make sure we can get proper counsel when we need to get counsel.
Can you guys look up quickly what we've spent so far this year? Or would we only have 2 months of bills in so far?
$9,008.
$9,000?
No, that was last year. Nope. That was last year.
I'm sorry.
2020, excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah, what about 2021?
Plus 750. Oh, from this year. What a minute.
mm-hmm.
Sorry. Right now, the two bills, one was for $646 and the other was for $119.
So we've spent under $1,000 in 2 months.
Right.
And I don't think in March we've had anything with him. I mean, significant.
I haven't received any. Oh, wait a minute. I don't think we received any bills.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, we have another, excuse me, one just came in. It's just for $102.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I don't like to beat this up. I mean, I know that what happened last year, what most of this is for, and I just don't want to put this in the budget in anticipation that that's going to happen again. Like, I mean, I think we've handle that situation. You know, if we get sued by somebody, we're going to get sued and we're going to have to probably go into reserves or something. To me, to budget for it, anticipating that it might happen, to me is not the right way to do the budget. And I think we've got 9,000, we're putting 6,000 in there, which is 500 a month on average.
Right.
I think
I do believe that we also allocated a lot of that to the water budget.
Did we? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see them. I keep forgetting
you know what, though?
Over.
But you know what? That,
right.
I take that back. No, but you
oh,
know
no.
what?
That was legal for obtaining the bond. So that wasn't our district attorney's fee. So
yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So I get that.
After I said that, I remembered. Okay.
No, it's okay. Yeah, I mean, I think the general administrative line probably takes the bulk of, the stuff that's happening. But I don't personally feel right about budgeting, assuming something might happen. Like, I mean, the budget is supposed to be like, here's what we're projecting we're going to spend this year. And I don't want to go in saying, I project somebody's going to sue us. We're going to need a legal defense. Yeah. I mean, that's just not... I'd rather handle it out of I don't know if there's a reserve account you could ever take that out of if you had to. Maybe not.
Yeah, you have to basically spend everything within your annual budget, and then once you know you're going to go over that because of a lawsuit, let's say.
Yeah,
then
you
notify DES, they ask you, why are you overspending your budget? You give them the reasons, and they approve you for going over. But, of course, that requires a public hearing and all that.
Well, no, because if we go over, we notify them. So say somebody sues us and we spent $20,000 on legal, okay? I'm just saying. I'm just making up a number. We budgeted $6,000. So we were $14,000 over. If we ended overspent the whole budget by $14,000, because that's – and we went to them and said we spent an extra $14,000 on legal we weren't anticipated because we were sued, and that would come out of the unassigned fund balance.
Right.
That's how it works. If you go over budget, right? You don't have to have a hearing for that. I think you just have to go to the New Hampshire DRR. I can't justify saying that might happen when we haven't spent that kind of money in the past. If you want to go back and look at what we spent the last 5 years and put in an average, I'd be okay with that. But I just don't feel good about putting in a lot of money.
Right. And no loss is going to come to fruition in the next 9 months. We're already 3 months through the year, so nothing's going to happen in 9 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there could potentially be a buildup to something, but it wouldn't be in the range that, like you said, a technically full-blown legal battle would cost $20,000. That would take 5 years.
Yeah.
I think we're okay with $6,500 or $6,450.
Yeah, I think I had a conversation with him too. We might as well bring it up now while we're talking, since we're talking about the annual meeting. When I called him about the billing that he reduced for the other issue last month, he mentioned the annual meeting to me, and he said, "You know, if you guys want to save money, I don't need to come to your annual meeting." He says, "I don't go to most annual meetings for districts or entities, municipalities that he represents." And you know, I have to tell you, like, I remember being at one annual meeting, and maybe two, where he was asked a question, he didn't even know the answer. He's like trying to call people on a Saturday night. It's like, I don't think we need him there. We don't have a bond. We don't have any major, you know, issues. I say we don't have him come to the annual meeting and we save some money.
Yeah,
that's certainly viable. You just have to remember how to answer any question that may implicate legal from a Board of Commissioners standpoint, is that we say we don't know the answer. We'll get back to you later.
Exactly, which is we're perfectly within our rights. We should be saying, but you know, as I said, I think this district has gotten like just, you know, there's just we need to sort of calm everything down, and I don't think he needs to be there. I mean, I've never the stuff he's ever been there for in the past has always been, I mean, I've always found it a little odd, to tell you the truth. I can understand the bond because maybe there's some legalities involved in getting a bond approved or doing a ballot, but I think we have a pretty straightforward year here. In terms of the budget and the warrant articles. And the other option, I think he might have said, like, he could be available if we wanted to call him, you know, if we needed to. So I could check with him on that, even Saturday morning. I don't know if we'd have to pay him for that. But we could say to him, listen, we're not going to have you come, but he's going to drive all the way here, sit in the meeting for 3 hours, drive home. You're paying for all that time.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Anyway.
We could probably do without this year. We just have to know how to answer our questions properly.
Sure.
Yeah, and hopefully through the budget, once we have our budget hearing, any questions that arise, we will have an opportunity to gather those answers together prior to the annual meeting.
Yep. Okay. And the last thing I had, which I was doing some numbers this morning, up on line number 2 under administrative salary. We have Let's see, under operations, 32.3, and then under water, 6,000. Yeah, so am I seeing that right in that what was budgeted for 2020 was
38.3?
32.3.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, 38 for both. No, well, 38 when you combine them. I'm sorry, Jay. You're right, 38.3.
Okay. Yep. And so I was doing some numbers, and if you do what is currently the pay scale for the two administrators at 17 an hour, and if you were to do 40 hours, we're basically coming in just a little bit under 32.3. In other words, we're not really budgeted if they were to work 20 hours each per week. That's something I noted. And then the other thing that I really wanted to bring to this attention was the amount of work that they're doing with respect to 91A requests. And it's certainly taken, as we know, this past year, considerable amount of additional hours, which no one anticipated. And I'd at least like to add, just for the 91A request, an additional $2,000. But I want to make sure that we're also capturing the possibility of giving these individuals a raise. We don't have that factored in here.
So if you did the current hourly rate times 40 for the entire year, meaning nobody's going to take a vacation week, the holidays and Thanksgiving week, Christmas week, and all of that, you ended up with close to the 38.3.
Certainly, come out 35.3.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's assuming no one's taking a vacation, no sick days.
Yeah.
That's assuming they're each working 20 hours a week, no more than 20 hours a week on the weeks. And then that's
they're already going over that already.
So, yeah. So then my point, I think you need the money in there, the 38.3.
Yeah.
And if you want to put more, maybe we up that a little or a raise and or, you know.
Because that's what I was thinking. First of all, for the 91A requests, which are taking considerable amount of additional time, but also compensation factors, cost of living increases, things like that.
Okay. So what do you want? What are you suggesting? You want me to increase it by 5%, 4%?
Yeah, let's increase that by 4%. Do you have I don't have my calculator in front of me.
Don't worry about it. I'll do it. So when I do that, Jay, there's a trickle-down effect here that will have to increase the Social Security contribution. What else?
Insurance.
We won't have to do
a little bit.
Okay. All right. And then New Hampshire retirement won't be affected.
Right.
Because that's just for full-timers. Okay. So it'll really just be the Social Security portion plus Social Security contribution. Okay.
13
up that by 4% for that 4%. Okay. All right. So when I update this, I'll put those two numbers as an increase. All right.
Okay.
So that's a good thought, Jay. Thank you.
All right.
And just for clarification for the note, clarification, Kathy and Jay, did we say 4%?
Correct.
4%, yes.
Okay, thank you.
So whatever that amount is, we'll have to and take 6%. What's the employer's Social Security contribution? Is that 6.12%?
I think it's
6.25. Okay, 6.25% on the 4%. All right. Okay. So to kind of recap, Jay. So we're going to put the $10,000 for the dam management emergency plan into asset management.
Yep.
We're going to add $3,500 on line 19, which is buildings and grounds, but under the water budget. We're going to add $12,000. We're going to change the fuel budget for the DPW from $10,000 to $12,000. And then the 4% salary increase for the administrators, and then just make that adjustment on the Social Security contribution. Those are the four things, the takeaways from that. Okay.
Yeah. for the budget, the $6,000 leaf blower will go into a warrant article.
Yep, that's already been done. Yep.
No, I see it here. Okay, number 8. Yep. Got it.
Yep, okay. All right. Okay, so I'll take care of that, and I'll update and send that back out. So the...
Just before we get off of this subject, I just want to reach out to Kelly. Kelly, I know you've had some discussions with contractors on the road paving. That's a warrant article. But anything else within your budget that you believe we should have be brought to our attention right now?
Well, I don't see the roadside brush trimming that I brought up, that I got for an estimate for last year.
Oh,
like I said before my time, I guess it was a yearly line for roadside mowing. I think it was 4,000. I wasn't there then, but it was a constant thing, and then it stopped. And we're getting pretty encroached upon by growth that we can't keep up with.
Yep.
So I did have a contractor come out in the fall and give an estimate. He estimated around $7,000 to put a dent in it. He said that wouldn't cover the whole district, but it would get us a good start, and then every year we'd just appropriate a smaller amount to maintain.
Okay, so that was $7,000 a year?
$7,000 the first year.
Yeah.
For the first year, just to get things back and manageable, and then whatever we think to continue with that. We can make this number anything to get something done.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he threw that out there because he drove the roads with me. We looked at everything, and he said we got quite a bit, especially on the right side of Idlewise.
Yeah.
That's really overgrown. It's high limb. He has to use his high reach mower for it.
All right, awesome. Thanks, Ron.
Okay.
So that's kind of, we just can't keep up with our little trimmers and pulling the brush out and doing, you know, we got so much to do now. So that's why I brought that up. I don't see it anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can add it into the other cutting you want to get done or make it separate.
Well, that's for the water budget. This would really be for the road budget.
Correct.
Well, the water budget has big trees included too, so I didn't. That should be on mine.
Yeah.
That warrant for the water you're saying, it says it also mentions any large trees, right?
Well, that's not a warrant. We put $3,500 in for trees and brush cutting that Jay got an estimate for over all the water lines.
Yeah, that's
right.
Into the budget.
That's
into the budget.
I see Article 5 for brush and tree cutting.
We're going to take that out.
Yep,
okay. Well,
so that's why I want to keep on this subject. So there is a warrant article that we originally thought about for brush cutting. We thought, at least for the water system, this was something that had to be maintained every few years. But I guess to Kelly's point, he's correct. We sort of have to have the same thing for our roads, a maintenance plan for brush cutting, whether it be once every 5 years or a little bit every year.
Well, do you want to keep Article 5 and just change the purpose of it?
That's what I would do. $7,000. I would go in for $8,000, and I would say, and I'd explain it as, you know, this used to be done. It hasn't been done in a long time. It needs to be done every year, but we didn't want to put it in the operating budget because it was going to be a lot this first year. So we're doing it as a warrant article, and then in the future, it'll become a couple $1,000s a year in the operating budget.
Right.
Yep. And then some years, maybe we could skip it, but I think that's right.
All right.
So Paul, if you want to just change the wording of it and just keep it Article 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For how much?
You want to do 7?
Yep.
Let's do 7, and then we'll do a maintenance in the budget, out of the budget, every year after that for maybe $2,000. Catch up with the rest of the roads.
Okay.
How's that, Kelly?
I won't say for keeping clear. For clearing brush and trees.
Roadside brush and trees.
We'll run it by you before the final meeting, but I'll draft that.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's good.
All right. Anything else, Kelly?
The only other concern I have is the fuel. I know you bumped it up to 12. I just want to, it may not make a difference, but we did not use the grader for winter operations after the first of the year. If a grader goes out in a storm, a good storm, which we need it for, or for pushing back banks, which we didn't have to do this year much of, we usually use a truck for this year, the grader can incur a cost of $300 to $400 a day in fuel. It's $4. It's $4 a gallon of diesel that machine uses. The 12, I think it's tight. We had 15, and we spent $8,861 without using the grader for winter operations. We could easily eaten up a couple thousand more of that. If you want to stay with the 12, I mean, I guess I'm comfortable with it. I'm just letting you know that, like Jay said, with the fuel prices and not knowing
what the winter's going to bring.
Yeah,
this budget covers this year, and for this year, God willing, winter's over in terms of plowing. Maybe it's not when storm. But I'm just
saying,
we're really talking about the fall, right? Or are you talking about other times during the year?
Well, we have our summer grading. We use the grader extensively in the summer, which we're covered for. As long as we have a typical start to winter next year, I'm comfortable with it. I'm just cautious.
I think we have to budget for a typical year, and then if some crisis happens, you manage it. You know,
okay. Just a heads up.
No, understood.
Go
ahead, Kelly.
Sorry,
go ahead. No. The 12,000 is a 50% increase over what we spent last year. So I think we're covered on that.
Okay.
By the way, guys, NHMA, I'm just looking something up before I tell you something. NHMA.
Yeah, because I was thinking too, Kelly, if you're going to do a substantial culvert replacement this year, the grader will probably be used more so than it has.
Yeah, well, we do use it, like I said, pretty extensively. So, we've always been covered in the summer. It's the unknown of winter that you just don't know.
Right. Okay.
By the way, you guys, I just want to quote an RSA. RSA 52:4-A, contingency fund. Every village district annually, by an article in the warrant, may establish a contingency fund to meet the cost of unanticipated expenses that may arise during the year. Such funds shall not exceed 1% of the amount appropriated exclusive of capital expenditures and amortization of debt by such village district during the preceding year. A detailed report of all expenditures from the contingency fund shall be made annually by the commissioners and published with their report. So it's not a lot of money for us, but it's something we could do. And it was funny because I know a couple of years ago in one of the annual meetings, somebody said, why don't we budget a contingency fund? And somebody said, we can't do that. And actually, we can. So
Capital Reserve account? You set it up like a capital reserve account?
No, it's a line item in your budget. It would be a warrant article. So you'd say warrant, and you could do it every year, and you'd raise the money, and if you didn't spend it, but it would be for things you didn't anticipate.
Yeah. So just from a history standpoint, we used to have a line item very top. I think it was actually item number 2, which is now replaced by administrative salary. It was called miscellaneous. That was our contingency fund, and it basically held about anywhere from $1,500, I think as high as $2,000. It was just miscellaneous, things that you would not anticipate.
Right.
Always was there, but then it was taken out, I believe, several years ago.
Well, this is, you would do it as a warrant article, according to this RSA. You wouldn't do it as a line item in your office budget. So I'm just sharing that with you guys. I came across that, and I was like, wow, that's interesting. Hmm. I just hate when people quote meetings, you can't do that, and then you find a law that says, yeah, you can do it. So I just want you guys to be aware that you can do that if you want. So doesn't mean it'll get passed, but you can try it. You can put it in as a warrant. So
okay.
Okay?
All right. So I think we're pretty much wrapped up with the budget. Everybody happy?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any other line item issues, I don't think. I just want to
reach out to the administrators and ask for input from the office for any additional equipment or needs that you think you might have.
No, yesterday we went to order the ink and I was a little taken aback by the price of it. So I don't know if that has to be added into the budget, because it was $400 and something just to get.
It's the cost of keeping your equipment under warranty and making sure that you get the useful life you expect out of your HP printer.
Right. So on the printer itself, is it telling us now, I think every printer does this, tells you where your ink levels are?
Yes, Jay.
And are we good?
Well, we're not going to be good. We have to print water usage bills. So the office is asking the commissioners for permission to purchase supplies when needed, letting you know that they are more expensive than prior years.
Yeah. So in printing the water bills, we're just using the black color black, right?
Yes.
So we just need to purchase the black cartridge and not the other three colors. So that's what, 100?
Okay. I'm just more I was taken aback for the amount that we'd be purchasing just. If we had to order it all at once at the same time,
we're not asking the commissioners to tell us when to order ink. We're asking the commissioners whether or not we feel that supplies item or printing item is sufficient given the increase in cost.
Do you think that line item you're questioning is on the budget?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think you have a good point. It sounds like from what you guys sent in, it's a lot of money and. Maybe this is more than the prior. What do we got in here for? Would this go under supplies and fee, merchandise fees?
Yes.
So I think we should go back to at least the $1,500. I don't know. We didn't spend much last year, but as you said, didn't you say it was like $500 or something to buy ink?
$471, yeah. I think it was.
So you think maybe three, how many times a year are you going to have to do that? Do we think, how old is that printer? We bought it when? In the fall or in the winter?
It's brand new, yeah.
I mean, already.
No, I know it's brand new, but like how long did the current ink last is my question.
Over 2,000 pages per cartridge.
I know, but when did we get it? I'm just saying, like, how much are we using every 3 months? If you're going to have to buy ink four times a year, then you need at least, 400 or 500 times four. You're going to need at least $2,000 for ink. I know it's the number of pages.
Well,
I'd say
I'd say in my personal experience with these HP printers, you order black at a rate of three times that of the color.
I see. Okay.
The capacity.
I think we should put in. I think we should increase that line item. I think these guys have a good point.
Yeah.
I think $1,200 may not be enough.
It's not that the ink is more expensive, it's just that the capacity of the cartridges is much higher. So you pay more, but you get the same as you would with a lower price or a smaller capacity printer.
Right, and you're just buying them a lot less frequently.
Right.
Okay.
So you think we do have enough money? I'm confused.
I guess my question is, on the printer that we currently have, the new one, where are we on ink levels? Because I think we should be using about the same amount.
We're less than half percent on the black, blue, and cyan. Yellow is at a quarter.
Okay. Yep.
I think you should always have a thing of ink on hand, especially as you get.
Well, that's what we always did prior. We always had three on hand just in case.
I don't know if you need three. You need at least one of each color on hand. You need something on hand. So go ahead and order what you need. when you need it. You guys, I don't think you need to come to the board for permission to buy ink. And I think the question is, the bigger question is, do we have enough money in the budget this year for ink?
Yeah.
That's what she's asking.
Okay, well, the previous budget was $1,500, so let's make the current year $1,500 instead of $1,200.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, all right, we'll change that to $1,500. Okay.
And Jay and Kathy, do you agree that they should just order when they need to order and doesn't need to be involved the board?
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a laser printer, and I know when it said I needed the black ink was low. I still got another 500 pages out of it, but it was always nice to have at least the black on hand.
Yeah. Yeah, as Donna had mentioned, they always had extra cartridges on hand. So, yeah, please go ahead and do that same process that you've done before and always have a couple on hand. And, yeah, we realize it's going to be a few hundred bucks, but, yeah, we'd just rather have you guys ready instead of chasing cartridges.
Yeah, and because, you know, they had a defective cartridge one time, and so, you know, that delayed a whole bunch of stuff for us one month.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. What else was I going to ask? Oh, quick question, Don. Did we clarify with Catherine kind of where we're putting her salary? Or her not her salary, but her payments?
She suggested that we do a new line item for her services because it's a payroll service also. So.
Okay.
It doesn't fall under payroll. It's like a subcontractor line item.
Right. Mhm.
So that's a great point.
I agree with that because I think, you know, that we ran into the issues with not the issues, but you know, costs associated with Rhonda from QuickBooks and from Liberty Computer Service, and we were just kind of lumping all those under that one category. So if Catherine could create a line item for 2021 mm-hmm. for contract labor, administrative subcontractor, however she wants to label it, I think that would make sense.
Right.
And then maybe
my question would be, when she does her payroll on a monthly basis for the district, that is under her payroll business, but when she dials into on a weekly basis to assist Donna and Jerusha, is that the same? Would that be the same line item?
I would say so. Yeah.
She's essentially a consultant or a subcontractor at that point, right?
Yeah. Right. Regardless of whether she's doing the payroll for us or she's assisting with the office, I think they're the same thing, Jay. I would say it's the same thing.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Yeah, we wanted it broken down to finance, you know, for the administration support services and payroll.
Okay.
So here's my question to Donna and Jerusha. So what should we put in as an amount in that line item for her services?
I'd have to go back there, I think, Jay. I don't have it right in front of me.
Okay,
I'd have to
that's
get
good.
Back to
okay. Yep, that's what.
And kind of, and then maybe so whatever she charged us for January and February, that's probably going to be a pretty average month.
Yeah, because
right now all
of
that was a lot of that was lumped into line five.
Okay. All right. So Donna and Jules will get back to us and add that amount to the budget under that line item.
And what we should do, Jay, is, you know, deduct some of that amount from line item five because that's where it had been budgeted for in 2020.
Right.
So we can take that down to a more reasonable number and then we're not creating a whole new expense. We're just moving it out of the printing dues and advertising into a more appropriate description.
Okay.
Okay. All right. New line item. Subcontract. Okay. Yep.
And you guys, I have a comment just about the ink and stuff to think about, and it might be more expensive or it might not be a very efficient way to do it. But an option would be once you have all the stuff the packet's ready, whatever we're going to pass out at the annual meeting, normally it's about a 20-page packet with all this stuff, potentially take that to Staples, is that what it's called, or Office Depot, whatever the place is called, and give them a disk, a drive, and have them print it. It might be cheaper. I don't know. It might be more, but I just an idea. Because that would go through certainly a lot of ink as well to create all those documents.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, and I've done that a lot. So, and I'm sure Jerusha and Donna have too. But if you want me to do that, just to kind of get a price for it, let me know how many pages we think we're going to print, and I can check out Staples. I use a kind of a not a corporate account, but because of the nonprofit, I do get a special rate at Staples for doing large copy jobs.
I think the district might have an account at Staples, at least when I was a commissioner before, I know they did. I think we had the nonprofit as well.
Yep.
Perfect. All right. Want to move on to warrant articles?
Yes.
I have a question. Can you wait a second?
Go ahead, Dinah.
Under the bonds, line 30 and 31, and then 37 and 38. Why is the truck payment under the water budget? I have $7,300 under the water budget.
No, under the operating budget. No, it's under the operating budget.
What was it, 30 and
31?
What line item,
Dinah? Line item
30.
No, those are both. 30 and 31 are under the operating budget, Dinah.
Those are both operating budget.
I must
zero
have a whole thing. The other thing is the amount of the Reinhardt tank loan. Are those projected figures correct?
Yeah, because that's the $59,000 that was appropriated last year. Is that right, Kathy? Can you explain that?
Yeah, so what was appropriated the year that we approved the bond, that money is still available to us. So the $10,000 in principal and the $7,000 in interest is over and above that. So that's what we'll need for the whole year of 2021 to make our payment.
For the bond.
Correct.
I thought he gave Donna a amortization schedule that said we were going to be billed $66,000 in August.
Right, but if you take the $66,000, subtract what the voters approved and we already raised, we need the additional $17,000.
Yeah.
Okay, so this first year's payment is already been collected. That's
most of it. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And that's something we'll have to work with the auditor to figure out how to do the transaction correctly. So the money's been raised, but it has not been spent. So it's sitting somewhere in the
unassigned fund balance, probably.
Somewhere, yes. But it's already been appropriated for the first year's payment. So we'll need the additional $17,400.
All right.
And that will have to be in the operating budget for this year.
Okay.
And that's a total of principal and interest, right? It's the $1,245 plus the $4,715. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I just didn't know where the 17 was coming from. I see it. Okay.
It's just the difference, yep.
Okay.
All right. Okay, moving on to the warrant articles. If everybody can bring up Paula's sheet that she sent out.
Okay.
Everybody there?
Thanks.
Thanks, clerk.
What? Clerk?
Okay. Well, I'll start. Article 1 is voting for officers, so that's pretty straightforward. Yeah. Article 2 is the operation.
Oh, wait, Jay.
No.
Jay.
Yep.
Go ahead. Isn't the clerk's 2 years the same as the treasurer?
Yes. Yeah, will be 2 years.
I'll fix that.
Oh.
Okay, 2 years. Got it.
Yep.
Those two have changed at the same time. Yep. Okay. All right.
So then,
the operations and highway budget. Kathy, you haven't been in time to tabulate that. We also need that number from Catherine DAO on her forecasted expenditures for a given year.
Yep.
So we can plug that in once that's available.
Yep.
Water system budget.
I don't know if we have the final number now. We know we have to plug these numbers in, but I think otherwise we can keep going. We know that we have to put the final number in here.
Okay. I agree, Paula. Okay.
Is this part of, excuse me, Article 3, is this setting the water rate?
No.
Because those bills have to go out next week, and we need to...
I thought we agreed on a $400 rate, or were we going to come back and
Jay had mentioned coming back to it at last Thursday's meeting.
Okay.
Right.
Should we make...
Can we come back to it later, either at the end of the meeting?
Yep.
Keep going on this? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Remind us, Donna, before we adjourn.
You got to remind us before we get off. Okay, paving a
four-review
drive. Paving a four-review.
Yeah, 37,600. Is Kelly still there?
I met with the paving company yesterday, and we did a new survey of the road. They're going to get back to me within the week with a hard number. There was additional damage to the road over the winter. They don't expect it to change very much, if any, but they want to make sure it's accurate. They're coming back in the near future. They're putting a second overlay on a section of Aspen that didn't hold up. So they're going to fix that. Maybe we'll do it all at once, but, they were in here yesterday. I met with two of them, and I will have that within a week. We can shore that number up.
All right.
I drove down there yesterday. So you're going to do the whole paved section. Is that correct? I just want to make sure I understand.
The upper paved section. There's two paved. That the lower is
okay.
is
gravel. In pretty
the
good
lower
shape.
Is okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but
so you're
going to
do the upper paved. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Somebody
yes.
had. We got some pictures yesterday from somebody questioning whether Lugano. Is it Lugano? Was worse off than that. What we were planning to do, and I drove both yesterday because I wanted to see. Well, I think the interesting thing about Chicora Review is that most of the damage is in the center of the road, so you can't really drive around it. On Lugano, it's on the side. It is pretty beat up on the sides of Lugano. I mean, there's a couple of frost heaves, I think, that are pretty big. So
Lugano,
it's not great.
Lugano would be on my hit list for the near future, but not this year. The amount of traffic is minuscule compared to Chicora.
Okay, so should I just amend this and say for reclaiming and paving the upper section of Chicora Review Drive so people know what we're talking about?
No, because the lower section is a different road name, so I think Chicora View would be fine.
Yeah.
It is a different name? Where are you guys talking? I guess I don't know how far you're talking about. Because I drove down it. There's a part where you hit the bottom, and then there's two roads that go off. One is a private. One is a dead end. Are you talking about that whole section?
That Chicora runs straight into a dead end. The lower half is actually St. Moritz.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. But the lower half of Chicora Review Drive up until that intersection is in pretty good shape. So I'm saying the lower half of the upper half is in pretty good shape. Would you agree with that or not?
Any part of Chicora View, any paved section of Chicora View will get done.
All of it will be replaced.
The steepest part of the turn, the hill that comes down to where it turns to gravel.
Yeah, no, that was bad. I agree. But then if you come around that, it gets really smooth. But can you only do it if you have to do the whole thing?
It wouldn't make sense to leave out 500 feet. It just when they get the machine there, they're gonna do the whole thing.
Okay. Okay. Article 5. You're gonna give us an updated number for that in the next week. Brush and tree cutting. So this is to see if the village district will vote to raise an appropriate. So I'm gonna rewrite this and I'm gonna put in $7,000. And this will basically say to clear brush trees along the roads. I'll come up with something, and I'll run that by you as well.
Facilitate the drainage and plowing.
Right. And I might move this one down a little bit lower because I think it will be, I don't know if this is the right number for it, but number six is asset management.
Yep.
So in this one, we were going to fund this. This changes now, right? So now we're going to take this money out of the unassigned fund. We're going to take the money and we're going to put it into the reserve fund that we took this out of, right?
Well, this one, this article should go away completely. We decided to take the matching portion out of the Water System Capital Reserve Fund, so there'd be no warrant article necessary.
But I thought we needed a warrant article to refund that water, the thing we took $20,000 out of.
If we decide, I don't think we decided to do that.
I thought we had. No?
I don't recall doing that.
Do you guys think we need to do it?
That was a suggestion that if we're going to go ahead and take it without authorization from the voters, that we would give the voters the ability to replenish that reserve fund by taking $20,000 from the unassigned fund balance, which basically is a result of the savings that we had this past year. So do we want to leave this? I don't know. That's a good question. Obviously, we've already decided to take the $20,000 from the capital reserve fund, so that's done. It's the question of do we now want to replenish that reserve fund for water system with $20,000 from the unassigned fund balance, or if you leave it in unassigned fund balance, it's there, but the commissioners can't do anything with it because that is under the full control of the voters.
Right, but Jay, I think that you've got $50,000 plus another big chunk coming out of unassigned, though I believe that those numbers will be close to or a little higher than what we're going to be putting back into the unassigned fund based on this year's budgets or based on 2020 budgets. And we've got $200,000 in water capital reserve funds.
Right.
And so I know some of it's been earmarked for the completion of the Reinhart project. We did add $20,000 to it based on our under expenditure of the water budget. So this is kind of the offset to that. I mean, I don't think that it's necessary to put more money into our water capital reserve funds at this point.
Yeah, Paula, we actually did replenish the water system capital reserve fund with $25,000 that was unspent in this past year.
Right.
We decided
I'll take it out. Little right. Loop Drive so. Survey and Engineering. So this was to do the surveying and engineering to create a plan for Little Loop, and with the hope that Kelly and his department would be able to do the actual work. So I know you're still waiting on this number, Kathy?
Yeah, I don't know if the office has heard anything from Chris. He thought he would get something back to us by either the end of last week or this week, and today's only Tuesday.
I sent that with the wrong title. We did get something back from Ron Briggs.
No. Okay.
Yes, sorry.
Oh, the surveyor? Okay.
Yeah, we did get, sorry, I titled that email to you wrong. I was multitasking. So Ron Briggs, we did get a survey, a quote back from. His quote does not include the material cost per monument. So whether or not you want to do stone or you just want to do rebar, you know, iron. So his quote, excluding materials, is $9,000 for that survey.
Okay.
And I do have forwarded you that by email.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Let us look at it.
What is rebar? What does that have to do with any of this?
Yeah.
Didn't we just ask
know.
Them to survey the road? I'm confused. Are we talking about the
I don't know why they'd be.
Property markers.
Oh,
boundary markers.
I see. Yeah.
Boundary markers.
Okay. So was that the survey and... That was the survey alone, not including a drainage plan.
I can read this. Survey existing Little Loop Drive roadway and prepare a right-of-way plan for same. Monument the right-of-way with permanent markers. Research, 3,200. Boundary survey, 1,800. Computations and drafting, 1,600. Right-of-way monumentation, labor only. Materials varies on type of monument, rebar, stone, bound, or other. That's $2,400. For a total cost, not including materials, $9,000.
Okay.
Once the type of monument to be set has been determined, he will submit a formal proposal on the final cost. Please note that this work does not include the wetlands permitting required by NHDES.
And then he provided contact information for this permitting.
Okay. Okay, so that was the survey portion of it. Okay. Okay, so maybe that'll go back to...
May have the engineering in there if he's asking or waiving the cost of the wetlands permitting. Wetlands permitting would come as a result of an engineering plan to dive into the wetlands at some point.
Okay.
All
right.
So that's back and inquire if it includes a drainage plan?
Well, that probably Chris would be providing that. This guy Briggs is strictly a surveyor.
Yeah, he's a land surveyor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because the estimate we got prior to this was 14.5, and that was the surveying and a drainage plan. So I think that makes sense what we've got so far.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll reach out to Chris, let him know that we did receive the surveying portion of that, and if he had any other questions or needed anything to complete the drainage plan.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're still waiting on a number for that.
Okay,
leaf blower, to see if the village will vote to raise and appropriate $6,000 for the leaf blower, which will be mounted on the backhoe. This will be raised by taxation. Okay?
Yep.
Number 9, tank pumping maintenance, CRF, to see if we will vote to raise and appropriate the sum of $2,500 to establish a waste tank maintenance, CRF, for the purpose of removal of hazardous waste from the DPW tight tank. The board will... the agents to expend funding for this will be raised by taxation. So the idea here was that this will have to be pumped out every few years. We don't know when. So if we raise $2,500 over a couple, 2-3 years, the money will be there when it needs to be pumped. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. Article 10, replenish medical insurance CRF. So this one changed because originally we were going to create a medical one, but we already have a medical insurance CRF. So we wanted to raise and appropriate $5,000 and deposit it for the purpose of mitigating the impact of health plan changes or unforeseen increases in our health care plan costs. This will be raised from the unassigned fund balance. So this is in case we have different employees at some point or current employees decide to go on a bigger plan that they're currently on. They switch from the two-person to the family. We would have the money there that we could fund that mid-year.
Yep.
Okay. Article 11, replenish highway equipment CRF. So this is the one where we were going to raise $50,000 from the unassigned fund balance that Kathy mentioned. That's a lot, because we are very low on the highway equipment CRF, and this money would hopefully go towards a major piece of equipment in a couple of years.
Right.
And then next one was replenish the equipment repair CRF, and that was to put $10,000 in. That would also come from the unassigned fund balance.
Yep.
And that's for me, because we depleted these a lot in the last couple of years prior to now. And then 13, this one was to see if the lot, village district will vote to raise and appropriate the sum of, we had nothing here for the surveying and revisions to the property lines. So we don't need to do this anymore.
That is correct.
Do we want to do something that says we'll allow us to sell it? Or we're going to make that a warrant article. We're going to do that in a hearing, right?
Yeah, and that's correct.
To see if the village district will vote in favor of selling the lodge at 100 Oak Ridge Road for a minimum price of XXXX.
So, Jay, does that require, is that a warrant article?
No, it's just, that's what is called a straw vote. You're just asking for what is the sentiment of the voters. We already have the authority to sell the lodge, but obviously it's something that I would
never
do.
And we'd want to do, okay. And really that would be, that, you know, technically that's something that would be discussed at a public hearing.
Right. So I did bump into one resident, former Commissioner Gloria Aspinall at the mailboxes this past weekend, and she asked me to bring up the subject about thinking about selling the lodge. I said, Gloria, we already have been talking about it. So she was very happy to hear that.
Okay. All right. So, well, that's good to know.
Do we want to do this straw vote then and say to see if the village district will vote to sell the lodge for a minimum price of XXX?
Or do you want to have the public hearing? Yeah. Or do you want to have the public hearing to discuss the same? Which would be the better?
I don't know if we even need to put, do we need to put something on the warrant? Or can we just, under any old, at the end of the meeting, I think Bob asked if there's any other business
yes.
that the village needs to discuss, and that could be something under
under those any business, any new business.
Just do like a show of hands kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
okay.
The DRA.
What I like about it is it allows the people that are part-timers to vote, to raise their hand as well and vote without just people that are actually voting. It allows everybody there to vote. I mean, to
truffle. I believe the DRA might actually strike this off of our warrant as it has no bearing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But I would make sure Bob Ingram knows that we want to discuss that so we don't, you know, everybody doesn't vote on the last article and start hitting the doorway. That we know that there's some other business to discuss.
Yep.
Maybe that can
go
on the agenda. We should we can put it up front on the agenda and say other business, including, you know, and then underneath that put lodge, tell the lodge. We could do an agenda, what we're going to cover. I don't know. Then people would know it's coming. Because people tend to leave, too, if they think it's over. And they are, you know. 14 is, we'll I'll change all the numbers. Reclassify Rhinox Place. This is to see if we'll reclassify the portion of Class 6 from the southerly corner of the driveway at number 5 Rhinox Place to 50 feet beyond the perpendicular intersection of the road to the southerly corner of the Rhinox Pressure Zone pump station.
Yep.
Nobody will know what that means, but is this correct?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Okay.
So what's the total distance there, Jay? So it's 50 feet beyond the intersection. So what would you say the total distance would be?
When you say total distance, well, it's 50 feet beyond the corner of the pump station. But so you're asking what is the total distance from the original end of the Class 5 road?
Yes.
You're probably talking about 275 feet.
Okay, because I think that's what the voters would want to know. If we're reclassifying a Class 5, Class 6 to a Class 5, what's the total length that's now going to be under the jurisdiction of the DPW for maintenance?
Yeah. Yeah, they've already been plowing probably 225 feet of that for decades.
Right.
You know, not knowing where the end of the Class 5 was.
Right. But if you're saying to reclassify the road, I think putting the total distance in there is relevant.
Yep.
Do we know what it is?
Well, I'll have to go out with a wheel to measure that.
Oh.
The measuring wheel.
If you get around to that, let me know.
And you can certainly, and you can clarify, and, you know, at the annual meeting, you can certainly clarify that, you know, 80% of it has already been part of the regular maintenance of the DPW since the pump house was up there.
Right.
But just saying 50 feet beyond this particular intersection, I think people think, oh, we're only reclassifying 50 feet of road, and that's not exactly the case.
Right. So on the same note as that, I took a look at the list of Class 6 roads that we have in Edelweiss and where they begin and where they end. There's another one. And, yeah, I'm going to ask the question. Kelly, are you still in the office?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you about this one. Adel Bowden Way, which is, again, it dead ends into Class 6. The last house on the right is owned by a gentleman named Bill Clerken, I believe his name is. And I believe he's at lot F98. And I'm going to ask the office for help here. The way that the Class 6, Class 5 delineation on that road ends and begins is before his driveway. Now, the substantiation of that or the validity of that would be whether he was ever issued and signed a waiver from the village district because he's on a Class 6 road. If the answer is no, that he never signed or was never issued a waiver from the district, I mean, this house has been there for 20 years, and we were probably in error, and we should extend the Class 5 to just beyond his driveway so that his property is legally in a Class 5 without waiver because we didn't do our diligence when he built that house. That's one. And my question to you, Kelly, is do you know of any other road that we know where the Class 6 begins, that we may actually be maintaining a small portion because we need to, whether it be to get to a pump station or a blow-off, anything of that sort. Because we should just clean all this up now while we're doing it.
The only one that becomes an issue for us would be Wadsbutt Road. It's the last one on your list.
Yeah.
It's kind of a long Class 6, but it's in excellent shape. But we only, because it's basically a dead end to us because we don't go up it, we have to kind of curl off the side of the road down in and push the snow into a ditch. It would be much easier if we plowed that whole road. I mean, I say it's long, but it's not so long that it's any burden to us. As it sits now, there's no way to turn around because of the where that Class 6 starts and the Class 5 ends.
Yeah.
If I was considered to take any road over, and there's no upgrade to be done to it, would be Wadsbutt.
Right.
I've often wondered why it wasn't a Class 5, because it's in excellent shape.
Yeah.
There's one All house right. at the end.
There is, and I believe that homeowner has signed a waiver, so he legally understands, and has never requested that it be converted to Class 5, but that can be approached as well. Again, if the homeowner does not want it to be Class 5, then that's fine. We'll just leave it as it is, but it does cause difficulty for your plowing. I understand.
Hmm. And there's been no maintenance done to that road in the 5 years that Kelly's been up here?
He has a private plow guy that plows it, but the road, he's the only one that uses the road, so it has no damage to it. It's in good shape.
Okay.
But it's always been a burden to us to get in there and get around. We can't take the grader or the dump truck, the big truck up there, because we can't turn around as it is. The only other one I'd be curious is the builder at the end of East Bergamo.
Yeah.
I mean, not East, but East. Do I got that right, Jay?
Yeah, you got it right, East Bergamo.
Yeah. He didn't get his road done in the fall. He wanted to be upgraded to a Class 5. Yeah, and hopefully he has a petition warrant in before meeting time, because that would help us a lot if that became a Class 5. And I know he wants it a Class 5.
Mm. Well, I think
fine,
he did. Don, did you have a comment on that?
He inquired about it, but nothing's come into the office.
Yeah, he lost time last fall to get it done. He had a contractor meet with me to discuss what had to be done. He knows what has to be done, and I know he wants to do it. I just don't know if he'll – I'd like maybe if he's notified when town meeting is and he can get his petition in before that, or if you just want to go ahead. I don't know. But he needs to upgrade it, not us.
Okay. Yeah, I do think he sent an inquiry into the office saying he didn't think he'd be able to get it done. He's not from the area. He doesn't know anybody. So for him to obtain the signatures required, it sounded like from the tone of his last correspondence that he would deal with it next year and not try to get it on this year's warrant.
Right.
Because of the way they extended it, it's the same situation. We have to dead end off the side of the road somehow, because we have to maintain access to Class 6 roads. We can't just snowbank it. So, well, we'll see. I mean, it's up to him. You're right. And I hope he gets it done. We can deal with that one if we have to.
No, the commissioners, but no, Kelly, the commissioners could choose based on your request to reclassify a road without there being a petition from the homeowner. We can do that. Just like we're doing up in Reinhardt.
With this one, Kathy, I'd rather not, because he does have to pay for the upgrade.
Yeah.
And until he does that, once he does the upgrade, we'd have to wait another year.
Right.
If he's not done in time.
That's true. That's,
but if he gets it done in time, no. At town meeting, you can do that. You're right.
Right. But I don't think he'll get it done by this town meeting. You won't get it done by well, we have to have it in by, when's the last day that we can post the warrant? 2 weeks before the annual meeting?
Yeah, we have to have it in at the time of our budget hearing, I believe.
No. But
yeah,
if we wanted to add it, if the upgrades got done, we could add it to the warrant because the road will have been brought up to the Class 5 expectation and add it to our warrant, but I think we'd have to add that 2 weeks prior to the annual meeting before
yeah.
we post the final warrant to the DRA, and we'd have to put it on the proposed warrant for the voters on April 22nd.
Yeah, so I don't think he's going to do it this year because he's applying for a water hookup. So the water main has to go in first, and then he can address the road. But the water main won't happen until June or July.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so
I guess we'll go on another year. That's fine.
One more year.
That's fine. We'll be all right.
Okay.
All right.
Is there any other warrant article that we need to add or discuss on this particular section?
I do have one. I have one just clarification, just so I'm clear, and I think it we had the question about line 70. Do we increase it from 45,000 to 5,000, or is that already included in the warrant article? I just want to make sure we didn't overlook that when we were summarizing changes to the budget.
Which one?
So,
line 70. That's the brine cutting for the
repairs.
So we were going to instead of putting it under 70, Jerusha, I think that's $3,500 was going to go under.
It's going under buildings and grounds.
Buildings and grounds, but under the water budget.
Okay.
So it's line 19, but over on the water budget column.
Right.
Okay. The line.
And we had 1,200 and we increased it to 3,500 because the estimate was a little over 2,000.
Right, yep. Right. Changed to 3,500, yep.
All right, and Donna was supposed to remind us to come back to something.
Yep. The water, setting of the water rate.
Yep. So do we want to talk about the water rate now or discuss it on Thursday's meeting?
I think we should talk about it now because Kathy won't be there.
Talk about it now because the bill's got to get printed.
Yeah.
I mean, the budget looks like it's about 162 plus we just added a couple thousand. So the budget's about 164,000. How many water bills do we send out?
Approximately 477.
Yeah, we get $343.82.
Was that Jay?
I mean,
$343.82.
So oh, should we lower it to $350? I just did it. What was it again? How many do we have? I'm sorry.
477.
Yeah,
477.
Oh, wait. We'll actually have more this year because of the – are you including the new hookups, Donna, over this past summer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if we should lower it to 350.
Well, don't forget, not everybody pays either. So we've got –
that's right. Yeah, I was going to say we're about 15,000 that we still have uncollectible.
Yeah, so we
from
won't
the water have, bill, and that's including, you know, all the ones.
Right. And plus, and even though we send the water bills out, it could take a year to 18 months to collect everything. So I think we're safer sticking with the 400.
Well, I just want to divide now. So say about 500 you need. Okay, you take what hasn't been paid. You're up to about 500 users, maybe a little more. 164,000.
Yeah, so you'd be every.
You're still only. Wait, I'm doing this wrong. I'm working off a budget of 164,000. divided by, let's say it's 515 users. It's still
no,
only
divide the other way
318.
Around.
No, no, no.
What?
No, no, divide the other way. The
yeah,
other
why
way,
why would
Paula.
You round up?
Oh,
yeah.
I'm
why would you round up on users? Yeah.
I'm like, wow, that would
say
be 400
and, say 400 and, say 450 users.
50.
Right.
Sorry, you're right. That's $364.
Yeah.
I got it. I mean, to me, like we came in under budget this year, and I think in an act of like I would. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't want to lower it a little, guys. I to me, it's like it shows good faith that like we've managed the budget well this year. We're budgeting next year based on this, but also on some stuff that we really need, and we've got this major accomplishment. I would lower it. I mean, I'd lower it to 375 at least. I mean.
I would say I just did the math based on what you've all said, and if you added 10%, what is what you know, 10% for changes, non-payment, contingency,
right.
That brings you right back to just about 400.
Yeah, here's my point. I understand Paula's is here's what we know as a budget from last year. Here's the number of users. Here's the number, and again, it a lot of it has to do with repairs. How many repairs we had last year, how many repairs are we going to have this year, which is totally unpredictable. But the one thing I do know is that the water system is getting older. And the older it gets, the more it's likely to fail. So I think even more so, we need to add money to the water bill in anticipation of doing more repairs because of the age of the system.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to put that money, Jay? What happens if you don't spend all this on the water budget? Does it go to an undefined fund balance for water?
No.
Nope.
Yeah. What happens?
Where does it go?
It goes
what
to
happened
the
this year?
Reserve.
Yeah.
It goes to the
yeah.
capital reserve. That's how we put $25,000 in the water capital reserve this year. Because
right.
even with all of those delinquencies and so forth, we still had a surplus.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to spend it on the water yeah. usage. It will go into the capital reserve.
Yeah. Right. Or it could go to pay, or what we could do with it.
Paying users, that equals, but if you times that by 10%, it brings you right back up to this.
Right. And Dinah, I guess Dinah and Jay,
yep.
We reached out to NHMA regarding this issue. Since this is not taxpayer, it's not raised by property taxes, it's treated separately.
Okay.
And we could do several things. One is to put it in the capital reserve fund. The other thing we could do is if there was an excess in 2021, we could apply it to the loan. So we do have the water system loan. When we did all the electrical upgrades and some of the tank inspections a couple of years ago. So we could apply any overage at the end of the year to the balance of the loans.
But
yep.
the loan was out of the operations, but was out of taxation. So
nope,
you can move it over to that side?
No, the water, the Reinhardt tank loan is, but on line 39,
yeah.
line 39 and 32, that's a water tank, that's a water loan.
Oh.
The other point is that we need to remember, this is why I discussed it earlier when we talked about budgets, is again, we're taking... Well, we have now set aside $85,000 from the reserve funds for water system
mm-hmm.
for the additional work that's to be done under the Reinhardt project. And again, we took another $20,000 for the asset management. So we just took $105,000 out of that capital reserve system for the water
mm-hmm.
system. So that's why I'm saying I believe now we need to start building that back up, or at least always be building it in anticipation
mm-hmm.
Now, here's the other benefit of that. If another grant comes around for improvement to water systems, and we are required, like we were this one, to either substantiate $85,000 towards the Reinhardt project from our reserves or $20,000 asset management as a match, we will have the money there in order to ascertain these grants. But if you don't have the money, there's a very likelihood that you may not be able to get this.
Right.
I don't think we should update water usage just because of capital reserve deposits. That should be a separate warrant article if that's what you want. So
right.
I don't think
water.
We should have 400.
No, no, but I to the question of what happens if we don't use all the money, and it does go into the reserve funds, which is always a good thing. But my anticipation is with an aging water system is that we should anticipate more water breaks. And it's
just yeah. No, no, I'm just saying. Yeah.
I don't agree with
that. I think leaving it at 400 makes the most sense.
Yeah.
I think 400 is good. We'll have a little extra, and it won't overburden the water users.
Right.
Keeping it consistent, too. I think consistency is kind of good.
Yeah. Because we hate to lower it by $25 or $50, then the following year, go back to 400 or 450, then it becomes, I think it's more palatable to just keep it the same.
I think so, too.
And so I'll make a motion that we set the 2021 water rate. I just want to make sure Jerusalem's getting this. The 2021 water rate at $400.
Water usage rate.
Water usage rate. Do I have a second to that?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yeah.
Aye.
Okay.
Quick question. So last year was the first year that we tried to do electronic payments.
Mm-hmm.
Have we sort of nailed down exactly how that's going to work this year?
Catherine's looking into it. Dinah spoke to somebody at the Bank of New Hampshire just to see if that can be done. Correct, Dinah, if I'm correct?
To waive that $3, to waive the ACH fee?
The Bank of New Hampshire product, I haven't really looked into it because, frankly, I think we're so far into the season that I don't know if we ought to change now. However, I think it would be something invaluable in the future. It apparently works like bill pay, and apparently there's no fees, but I have to look at that again. The other thing is, though, the water usage fee account is in Northway, and I don't know if we'd have to move it to Bank of New Hampshire. So there's some things to think about.
Okay, but I guess the question was, does Northway charges us the $3 to administer an electronic payment in a check
Northway
from bank to bank?
Yes.
Say that again.
Okay. Northway doesn't have any charges. It's the Intuit system that charges.
It's Intuit, Kathy. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So then, the issue we had was with the credit card payments. So I just want to so that once we send these out, some people are very good about jumping right on it and getting it paid. And I know they're just something for us to stay on the radar. That's all.
No, I don't understand. Are we going to be paying? Who paid the $3 last year? I thought we ended up having to pay.
The customers, after we realized the Intuit fee, that's why they have to call the office to pay the bill because we have to process it.
Everyone manually. Okay.
Yeah.
So what are we going to offer this time? And if we're going to offer something where people can call, so they have to call you to use their credit card? Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Yes.
Or their check.
And you're taking
both.
Okay, so
both
you're taking
them.
People's credit card information over the phone and you're entering it and there's no $3 charge, or is there a $3 charge?
So there's a fee for a credit card. Wait a minute, let me just get my works and services fee is different than for credit cards than ACH.
Right.
ACH.
So you're putting, when people call you, is it state somewhere on the bill? If you want to pay by credit card, call the office. There will be a blank service charge added to your bill. Does it say that somewhere on the bill?
Yes. I'll have to look into the wording. I don't have my water usage. I'll have to get back to you on the amount. I don't have my water usage. The merchant fee is... was last year 3.26% of the fee of the amount.
like $13 or so, $13 or $14.
Yeah, $13.65 was to use a credit card for the $400. But if mm-hmm. you know, it has to be readjusted if they after the late fees are put in, so it goes up higher.
So are we going to state that when we build? So are we going to state that? I mean, why are we? I think it's great. On one hand, I think it's great. On the other hand, first of all, it's a lot of money to use a credit card. Two, it's a lot of time for you guys to be sitting there taking credit card information over the phone when you're trying to get other work done. And so if 200 people decide they're going to do that this year, that's 200 phone calls and credit cards.
Yeah. You know, not a lot pay over the phone for a credit card.
Okay.
I probably got maybe 20, 25.
So can they pay online with a credit card? Is there a way for them to pay online with a credit card? I don't understand how, you know. It seems to me like we got surprised by this last year, and there were some costs involved.
Well, we tried doing that. That's when we got the service fees. Mm-hmm.
So what happened, Paula?
So that's why we had to shut it off, Paula.
Yeah, so Paula, what happened was, because the bill was for $400, if they paid with a credit card, they couldn't add the $13 service fee. The only thing they could pay was the $400, and then that $13 service charge got billed to us because we couldn't. So you have to have a whole system of a bill pay system,
right. So
and you got to pay for that.
How are we getting rid of that $13? So what you're saying is, if we manually do it for them, we can add the $13.
So what happens is Donna calls up their invoice, adds a line saying merchant fee $13. Their bill now becomes $413. Bang, they can pay it, and we're square. That's how we do it.
You guys want to do that? That's fine. I would get rid of that option. Yeah. Have people send us a check.
Well, I know.
It seems like a lot of work for us.
Obviously, New Hampshire doesn't. So there's plenty of other municipalities that don't take credit
cards. Is our accounting calling for this? Like, is our accounting, assuming we're collecting $413 and then we're paying out some money to somebody else, is our accounting making sure that we're clear on how that works? Because it's income for us, right? I mean, so when we take the $413,
The 13
is the cost. The 13 is the cost for the process.
I know Catherine was looking into it to get rid of the fees. I will follow up with her.
I mean, the fees are okay as long as the person making the payment is assessed the fees, not the district.
Right.
Yeah, but we have to do that for them. We're doing the work to let that work for them. That's all I'm saying. You guys are creating more work for yourself by doing this. Is that correct?
That's correct. They are.
Okay. I mean, I'm surprised because, like, I pay stuff like this for years over to states. I've never seen more than a $2 or $3 charge. So
$400 too. Don't forget.
You pay your taxes. You pay your taxes over. Town of Madison, or I mean, I don't know if Town of Madison's one, but I've never seen anything like this. $13.
Yeah, but most
usually
of them,
a flat rate.
Yeah, well, most of them aren't credit cards. Credit cards always a percentage. And I know I don't think you can pay your property taxes with a credit card, but you can do a bank transfer, and that's just a couple, $3 to do that.
Well, you guys do whatever you want.
Seems
so very complicated to me.
So, Jay, I have a question for you.
Yep.
Okay, so once we get the warrant articles nailed down, in our PowerPoint presentation, we have a summary sheet of warrant articles that are coming from taxation, and then one that's coming from an assigned fund, and then a column for ones that are coming from the water budget, I believe. So now when we get the column of funds that are going to be raised by taxation, in order to show the public what the tax rate's going to be, we need to know what the new Edelweiss valuation is.
Yep.
Now, do you want me to call? Should I get that from Linda?
I can call Linda. I know you're going to be busy, Kathy, so I can call Linda and get that new valuation.
My surgery's been rescheduled, so I will be. I don't have a date yet, so I will be in Thursday's meeting.
All right.
I can call Linda. I can call Linda. That's fine.
Okay, that'd be good. Yeah, and you know how to fill out that tax impact spreadsheet, right?
That's what I'm doing. Yep, I did it last year. Yep. Okay, so this is the VDOE valuation. right? Because the tax rate, instead of being $6 or $7, it may be like $3 or $4 because of the valuation's gone so much higher.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I will do that.
Okay. I'm going to ask if there's anything else that we should be discussing today.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the water emergency plan that I submitted this week.
Oh, yeah.
So that it can be sent to the state. It's complete.
Yep.
Okay.
Will anyone second that?
I'll second it.
Okay. Let's discuss.
I didn't look through all of it, but the first half of it, it showed that the emergency electrician was Conway Electric, and the emergency plumber was, what was his name? But I would just check with.
Oh, I thought I'd sent that to Ian. I was waiting for him. I talked to him yesterday. Well, I'll call him today. Make sure
those are the only two things. The emergency plumber and the electrician, just verify that Ian still has a relationship with those guys and they're still around. Cause those,
okay.
Just
no,
to,
you're right.
Just to confirm
that was the
that.
One thing. Okay. Do you want to wait till Thursday? I was hoping we could cancel the meeting on Thursday if we got this done. Do we have other business to do on Thursday?
No.
The only thing I have, this is two of the three liens that we've been discussing. I do have two of them completed. I dragged them over into today's meeting folder for your review. So these will need signatures by two of the three commissioners. And I just needed approval for these if you want to do a motion to vote on them. I know that you've sent prior correspondence, and I just wanted to confirm availability of commissioners for signature so I can date the letters and the lien notice itself properly for mailing.
Yeah, so we can do that on Thursday.
Well, Paul is saying if that's all we have to do, let's do it right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we have to do payroll, or what about payroll or manifest?
We will have payroll.
All right. We'll do it. Let's try and keep a short meeting on Thursday then.
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll have a short meeting on Thursday.
All right. So do you want to not vote on this water plan today because we have a motion on the table for that, or do you want me to make the changes with Ian and then bring it back
just
up on
them.
Thursday?
Okay. And there may be no change. To just confirm that those two individuals are still considered the emergency contact.
All right. I will withdraw the motion. I'll withdraw the motion for today.
All right. Okay. So we can discuss that Thursday when Ian confirms. Okay. All right. Anything else on today's meeting? Anybody in the floor?
Yes, I do have two things sitting with the auditor yesterday. They were questioning the water the raising of the water fee and how it's worked because they said that he was under the impression that we'd need a separate water account. Kathy spoke with him yesterday. I don't know if you want to elaborate on that, Kathy, or
I guess
that the thing that popped out to him.
Okay. I guess he was just questioning the way that we collect the water fees. We put them in a separate account at Northway Bank, but then what's the process of transferring the funds into the general account or the general bank account, and we pay the water bills, and who makes the decision of when we transfer it? Do we do it quarterly? Is it in $50,000 increments? And we don't really have a structured process for doing that. And I explained to him one of the reasons that we combine the money and just pay all the bills out of one account is for things like the audit. When we pay the audit, it's one check out of the operating budget, but then 15% of that is allocated to the water. So a lot of bills are it's one check that's paid, but then we make an accounting adjustment for the water budget. So it's not easy to take all the water bills and pay them out of one account, take all the operating budget and pay it out of a separate account. So I don't know if he was okay with that or if he maybe just wanted to see in the future something a little more structured.
And he was going to check with the DRA with that also, because he was under the impression it had to be a separate account.
Okay.
So you're saying in the future we'd have to have two separate checks for certain bills that were split. You'd have to pay part of it out of one account and part of it out of another, and that's what, you'd be generating more checks and more work to do it.
And I think, I think at one time we were putting the water fee bills that were collected all in the same account, but they asked that we keep that the income part of it separate, and so that was done at the request of the DRA, is to create that separate account, so all the payments at least went to that separate account, and then we did the transfers as needed to pay for the water bill, the water expenses. So Dinah may be able to shed some more light on that.
I usually do the transfers, and it's usually a cash management function. Usually by the end of June, we're out of tax money from January, so that $160,000 budget money goes into the operating account, so we don't need a tax anticipation note. So,
oh, that's a good thing.
But we shouldn't be funding the operating budget with the water fees. We should be transferring it over as we're spending down the water budget.
Right.
I don't know about that.
I mean, we're sort of saying we're borrowing from ourselves. We're borrowing for the operating budget for the roads from the water budget, from the water account, from the water stuff we collect.
And when we get the water money, we pay ourselves back, so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay. So as long as there's some process in place, and I guess that's what he was looking for, who makes the decision? Do you do it in fixed increments? Do you do it quarterly? Do you do it monthly? So he was just looking for some sort of process, and I guess he's going to check with DRA to see if the way we're doing it is acceptable.
Okay. It was acceptable to the other auditors, so I don't think it'll be an issue.
Okay.
He also, there was a question asked of me as to when the water ordinance came into play. It was in May 11, 2007, when it was adopted.
Okay.
And that's when we opened up the water usage accounts.
Yeah.
As soon as we had
they wanted to keep the set.
We opened the water usage account before that $50 just went into the operating account. But now that we had, another category, so to speak, we opened up the water user account then.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So, Donna, was there anything else that came up yesterday? I think we're at our 2-hour minimum.
Oh, okay. But Kathy, I'm going to update the PowerPoint. I'm going to use the one I had last done. And
okay.
Then I'm going to add in, but I'm going to put your budget pages at the front of it, the ones you did this week. And that will be the working one. And I'll send that out hopefully today. I'll get that done. And
The budget pages, that's a pain in the neck to get it in that format. Yeah. I have to update the budget, then I have to print it to a PDF, and then I have to put it in the PowerPoint and crop it. So that's the only way I can do it.
I'll send you those two pages.
The one
If you have those two pages, that would be great. Okay, just send that to me, and then I'll drop them in with everything else.
Okay, so on the PowerPoint, we had I did what I sent to you was the update. I updated. I think there's two pages there on the Reinhardt tank. Do we, Jay and Paula both? Do you think that's something worthy of presenting at the budget hearing?
We talked about this. We had this conversation that we should present it, that it's a huge project, a lot of money, and we should tell people where we are. The only thing that, by the way, this goes back to the Madison, I had one question on that Madison report about Reinach, because Jay, you basically said that all this work is anticipated to be finished in October of 2021, and I'm like, why October? I thought we were going to be done in the spring. Or is there some other extension part of it? With all the pressure zones or something.
Yeah, the contract is till October 2021. I have no idea when he's going to finish and what issues we may have that may linger till the end of the contract. So that's why I just put the contract date and not any other date.
That's the deadline. That's the deadline for the grant.
But you really want to say, okay, all right. I'm going to put October at the very latest. I'm going to add those words. But I think it sounds, I was like, what? What are we doing till October? Okay. I'm gonna just modify that a little bit. Okay. Okay.
Right. Anything? Anybody have anything else? All right. Here.
No, we're good. We'll ask you for a couple of minutes, but we're all set.
Okay. Hearing nothing, I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting at 11 a.m. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion.
Nope.
I think we're all in favor. Everybody say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yeah. Okay. So I will be on the call all day on Thursday.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Bye.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye.